this is a time for us to grieve, to mourn, and I'm responding pastorally to that time. Kinakalang i-shelve natin yung mga nakaschedule na pag-aaralan sana natin for this month. Instead, I want us to consider this matter of grieving. And grieving, which has a focus on the glory of God. Alam natin ang kaluwalhatian ng Diyos, ang matatawag nating universal motive. Some motives apply to certain circumstances than on others. But the glory of God is that motive which applies in all circumstances. Sa lahat ng mga bagay, lahat ng mga pagkakataon, lahat ng mga panahon, ay ito yung motibo na dapat pinaiiral ng mananampalataya. We have that stated very clearly sa 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 31, na whatsoever you do, whether you eat or drink, do all to the glory of God. So pansinin niyo na even as ordinary and as mundane an activity as eating and drinking, which means the most common routines of our lives, we do all to the glory of God. However, I need to explain, doing all to the glory of God does not mean now we consciously think worshipfully of God at every activity. Hindi naman ibig sabihin, iinom ka ng tubig, uhaw ka na, ay mananalangin ka muna, gagawin ko po ito para sa inyong kaluwalhatian. Maraming bagay tayo hindi magagawa ng in time and in the right way kung what it means is consciously referring to God in each activity. Hindi po ganun ang ibig sabihin nun. However, it is right na sa paghahanap ng kaluwalhatian ng Diyos, wala tayong gagawing anuman na makapaglalapastangan ng kanyang pangalan. Wala tayong gagawing anuman kahit pa sa pinakaordinaryo na makakagambala sa ating pagkilala sa kanya bilang Diyos. So we must apply even this motive to the most difficult period of grieving for the dead. And I want to begin by saying there is a place for grieving for the dead, even when the dead are those who belong to Christ. I already made reference, I think, last week na may mga naniniwala, maybe sincerely, but still a very artificial idea na kapag Kristiyano ang namatay, wala dapat grieving. Sinasabi nila, may nakatagpo akong ganyan na mga yung gusto nilang serbisyo for the dead who is in Christ is celebratory. Masasaya raw at mag-celebrate dahil siya'y nasa langit na. And I find that very artificial, very plastic, at hindi dapat, hindi makabubuti sa ating kalooban, sa ating emosyon. Kahit pa ang namatay ay namatay kay Kristo, at alam natin ang turo ng Biblia tungkol sa kalagayan ng kanyang kaluluwa, it is right for Christians to give place to grief. So, meron pang idea ng yung tinatawag nating stoicism, yung walang emosyon. Nung may narinig ako sa during the week na hindi ako umiyak, nagpanting yung tenga ko. Para bang katapangan ang hindi umiyak sa panahon ng pagluluksa. Mali po iyon. There is a place for grieving which includes lamenting and crying proportionate to how the Lord has made us personally. And the Bible speaks of God saving our tears in His bottle in a figurative sense. Ibig sabihin, isinasaalang-alang ng Panginoon yung ating mga pagluha, yung ating pagtangis sa panahon na nararapat ang pagtangis. Now why? Why should death lead to grieving even if the dead are Christians? Well, for this very simple reason. Death spells separation. Separation in this earthly life. Meaning, what happens to the dead according to Ecclesiastes 9, according to the teachings of the scripture, all the New Testaments, yung namatay ay hindi na magkakaroon muli ng bahagi dito sa mundo ng mga buhay. There will no more be any participation by the dead with the activities and concerns of the living, which means even those who belong to Christ no longer have any participation with the earthly life. What does that mean? It means separation. It means loss of any real contact. Wala na, pinutol na yun, pinatid na ang lahat ng pakikipag-ugnayan sa mga namatay. At dahil totoo yan, it should rightly translate into grieving. So may puwang sa pagluluksa, sa pagdadalamhati, eh, hindi mo na nga makakasama, wala na siya, kahit pa sabihin natin na nasa mabuti na siyang kalagayan, and that's what the Bible says of those who die in Christ, they rest from their labors on earth, they are in a far better condition, sabi ni Paul in Philippians 1. We all believe that, but nonetheless, for all that truth, it is still true, the one we love is no longer with us. We part company with a person whose presence we treasure, and that will yield to grief. That will translate into grief. Lalo pa kung ang dahilan ng kamatayan ay something we consider untimely, unjust. Ito ngayong nangyari sa ginamit kong teksto in our memorial service last Sunday, Acts chapter 8 verse 2, yung nangyari kay Stephen. Matapos siyang batuhin hanggang mamatay kahit walang kasalanan sa isang hindi makatarungang paglilitis. What did the church do? He was buried, and sinabi roon, great lamentations were made by the church for him. So here was Stephen, ibang-iba pa yung kamatay ni Stephen, di ba? Sinabi, nakita niya mismo. Si Jesus, wini-welcome siya. So what greater assurance do we need? Does one need in order to be assured now when he died, he went to be with Christ? That's a great assurance. Wini-welcome siya personally, nagkaroon siya ng vision. But again, for all of that, the church lamented. Nagluksa, nagdalamhati ang iglesia. So my point is, there is a place for grieving. And yet, what is mandated is we grieve, but not as others. That's the text that heads your handout, 1 Thessalonians 4:13. We do not want you to be uninformed, brothers, about those who are asleep, that you may not grieve. Now, he doesn't say you may not grieve, period, but that you may not grieve as others do who have no hope. So ito yung pagdadalamhati ng Kristiyano. May puwang para dito, pero huwag ka raw magdalamhati na parang walang pag-asa. Kaya may kaibahan maging sa pagdadalamhati ng Kristiyano. And that is my purpose. I grieve, as I'm sure you grieve, but it has been my meditation these past 2 weeks to inquire into what the scriptures teach concerning the right way of grieving. Even as we grieve, even as we lament, how do we do that in a way that glorifies God? So the principle I would like to give you is this principle, that to glorify God is to seek His honor by doing His will according to His word. It's as simple as that. That we will not do anything in disobedience to His word or in contradiction of His word. Now, that means two things, negative and positive. The negative is you avoid displeasing Him, which means simply do not sin in your grief. Grieve, but do not sin in your grief. And secondly, you do that which He approves. At yan po yung maliwanag sa maraming talata ng Biblia, ng Bagong Tipan, na yung ating ginagawa ay naaayon sa Kanyang kalooban. So those are the two parts, therefore, that I want to do in this two-Sunday study of grieving to the glory of God. Is how do we grieve so that while we grieve, we may not sin? And then secondly, how do we grieve so that while we grieve, we still please God? We still reflect the will of God. So those are the two things. For now, let us just consider how do we grieve in a way that will not sin, which means let us consider those sins that we need to avoid and mortify in times of grieving. Ano yung mga kasalanan na karaniwang nakarugtong sa pagluluksa na dapat nating iwasan at kung dumarating sa atin, daigin. Kaya magpaka-totoo tayo sa ating sarili kung nangyayari iyon. Now, in modern psychology, may tinatawag silang traumatic grieving, merong chronic grieving syndrome na nagiging sakit na ang turing nila sa ganito. Well, para sa atin, hindi ito isang mental disorder. Hindi ito mental disorder. This is something that we may do, but we may do in a way that may sin, and let us avoid those sins. So these are the sins to avoid and mortify in times of grieving. Three. I have categorized them in three umbrellas. Unang-una ay deceptions. Yung mga kabulaanan. Maraming kabulaanan ang nakabalot sa usapin ng kamatayan na kapag pinairal natin, lulugmok tayo sa maling paniniwala tungkol sa mga namatay. At ito ang dapat nating hadlangan. Any false thoughts that govern our views concerning the dead can be used by the devil, can be used by others to bring us down or to make us do things which are wrong because of those wrong views. Anong sabi sa Isaiah 8? Why do you seek God's will among the dead, to the law and to the testimony? If they do not speak according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. So yung contrast, yung mga pagano, akala nila yung mga patay ay may espesyal na koneksyon sa mga Diyos, at kung makuha mo lang yung kanilang pakikipag-ugnayan sa kanila, may advantage ka. And that's what Isaiah said is wrong. Now, in the same way, meron tayong mga maaring mga mali na mga kabulaanan na maaring umiral sa panahon na tayo nagdadalamhati. At tamang-tama naman, we just very recently studied about the subject of death. I believe that's last February. Pinag-aralan natin, nagkaroon tayo ng serye about death, the final taboo. At ipapaalala ko lamang sa inyo, yung tinanggihan natin doon, yung iba't ibang maling paniniwala, including the idea of spiritism. Ito na nga yung pakikipag-ugnayan sa mga namatay, na kapag nakaugnayan mo sila, may maibibigay sila sa yung kaalaman na hindi accessible sa mga buhay. So, and that's occultism. It's wrong. It's either deception of the humankind or deception of the demonic kind. But whether that or the other, it's deception. Spiritism o yung paniniwala ng ibang reincarnation, na yung namatay ay matatranslate yung kanyang sarili sa ibang forma, ibang anyo, ibang tao, o kapag hindi maganda yung buhay niya, inferior kind, maaaring maging halaman siya o iba pang uri. We don't believe those things. And then, yung mga nagiging popular ngayon na undead, mula sa multo hanggang zombie, vampira, at yung hayaan na natin kumita ang Hollywood at iba pa sa bagay na yan. Huwag tayong padaya sa ganyang usapin. Hindi natatranslate yung namatay sa ibang forma ng buhay na narito pa rin sa mundo. Yung iba naman, the other extreme is materialism. That death simply ends, terminates everything. Wala na, pagpatay, patay. And that too is wrong. So, pinapaalala ko lang yung pinag-aralan natin that recently. We reject all those things. Rather, we believe that the Bible teaches that the soul of the dead is in the intermediate state, yung pangkabilang buhay, pangkabilang kalagayan, na iwan yung katawan, anuman yung nangyari sa katawan na yan, whether inilibing, mabubulok, or cremated, whatever, the body is in decay. The soul is in the intermediate state. At dalawa lamang ang intermediate state, dalawang posibilidad lamang, those who are in Christ, 2 Corinthians 5:8, absent from the body, but present with the Lord. To depart, sabi ni Paul in Philippians 1, is to be with Christ. So very clear ang turo ng salita ng Diyos, to be with Christ. So nasaan yung kaluluwa ng mananampalatayang namatay? Kapiling ni Kristo. Hebrews chapter 12 speaks of the spirits of just men made perfect. So yan yung kalagayan ng espiritu, ng kaluluwa, samantalang nahiwalay sa katawan. Yung ikalawang kalagayan ay yung mga wala kay Kristo. Dito ay bihira lamang yung tekstong tumutukoy sa intermediate state ng wicked, but nonetheless enough to tell us that the wicked are reserved for judgment. That they too are in a conscious state of existence but away from Christ. We see that so clearly in the story of Lazarus and the rich man. Na the intermediate state ay pagkamatay, conscious, yet away from the presence of God. So yan yung turo po ng salita ng Diyos. Kaya huwag tayong padala sa anumang biblical teaching na umiiral ngayon tungkol sa namatay. Pairali natin yung mga paniniwala natin, at lalo na po kung ito ay mahal natin sa buhay, dito madaling, bagamat may doktrina tayo, lumalayo yung ating damdamin doon sa ating doktrina. Kailangan ng disiplina ng pag-iisip sa bagay na ito. So we reject all these unbiblical teachings, and therefore we reject superstitious notions. Any supposed contact with the dead is either delusive, daya lang, or demonic. You never contact the dead person ever again from that time of death. Kaya alisin po natin yung mga pamahiin gaya nung nagpaparamdam, kung medyo lumamig ang hangin, hindi po yun yung namatay. Talagang baka napalamig yung hangin, o kaya yung iba, sabi ng mga psychologists din, ay karaniwan daw talaga, lalo na yung mga traumatic, makikita nila bigla yung namatay sa crowd, makikita na siguradong sila siya yun. But in their studies, and I've just been reading, very providential din, natanggap ko the other day, yung latest ng Scientific American magazine to which I subscribe, at may article doon about grieving as a psychological state. At sa pag-aaral nila, talagang common daw yan, lalo pa nga traumatic yung pagkamatay, ay makikita nila sa kung saan-saan yung taong yon. Kaya kung biglang makita yan sa tingin mo si Jojo, ay sabihin mo, ordinaryo lang to. It really happens psychologically. But the dead person himself, no more. No contact. Napakahalaga niyan sa isang bagay na ulit-ulitin natin dito, because this is separation, ay meron dapat closure. Ayon sa mga psychologists, sa quantification nila, kapag sumobra sa 6 na buwan na hindi pa rin makatuloy-tuloy ang isang namatayan, ay pumapasok na yon sa something obsessive, something that is that can be pathological, that is mangyayaring disorder na. Kaya sa mga unang linggo, unang sariwang-sariwa pa yung panahon, mangyayari mga bagay na yan. But precisely, we have this doctrine. Christians should be the ones more able to yield to closure. Kaya ang isang bagay niyan, huwag mo nang kausapin. Huwag mo nang, o kung kausapin mo man, only in a symbolic way, pero huwag mo isiping naririnig ka. Kuminsan, maski mga preacher nagkakamali dito, umatin ako minsan ng isang wake ng isa ring diko ng isang church, yung mga pastor ang nangaral. Sabi ba naman ng pastor, habang ko'y nakaupuron, si brother ganito ay pinagmamasdan tayo ngayon. Hindi po totoo yan. Pero pastor itong nagsabi. Saan niya kinuha yon? Wrong interpretation of Hebrews 12. Na a great cloud of witnesses. Hindi po yan ang ibig sabihin noon. But the point is, no contact. Nasa mabuti siyang kalagayan, pero hindi ibig sabihin nalalaman niya ngayon yung nangyayari dito o tayo makakausap siya dahil iba na yung kanyang kalagayan. No. So, huwag nating pairali ng anumang maling katuruan at anumang kabulaanan. So, siguro dahil naturuan naman tayo dito sa iglesia, sa bagay na yun, mas kaya natin to. It's the two other issues that probably we will struggle with. So, the second is bitterness. Bitterness, sama ng loob. Ito yung a resentful attitude that sometimes seeks someone to blame. Especially, nangyayari ito when, again, kung yung kamatayan ay hindi inaasahan. And we seek something to blame. It happened, remember, in the case of Martha. Pinasundo niya si Jesus, and Jesus, knowing what was going to transpire, remember, the resurrection of Lazarus was the seventh sign of seven signs in the Gospel of John. Remember, sabi ni John, yung purpose ng pagsulat niya, these signs. So, seven signs yun na talagang inayos ni John. And the raising of Lazarus was the seventh and the most important, the most spectacular of the signs. Kaya alam ni Jesus yung kanyang gagawin. Siyempre, hindi alam ni Mary and Martha as beloved sisters of Lazarus. Kaya nung dumating na si Jesus, anong sabi ni Martha, "If you were here, my brother would not have died." Pwede nating tingnan to na a statement of belief, but on the other hand, a statement that suggests resentment. Na sana nandito ka, hindi namatay ang aking kapatid. At maaring may ganyan tayong diwa sa ganitong panahon. How do we express that bitterness? Sometimes that bitterness is towards God. And ironically, this happens among those of us who believe in the sovereignty of God. Meaning we accept that God is sovereign. But when something happens which is so unpleasant to us, ang pwedeng mangyari ay, "Panginoon, ba't mo naman hinayaan?" Eh, naniniwala nga tayo hinayaan niya, pinahintulot niya, pero maaring may angking tampo na bakit hinayaan ng Panginoon na mangyari ito. At magkakaroon tayo ng mga katanungan, especially in such an untimely and unjust death as what happened. Magtatanong tayo, I had struggled. This is a leader's curse where you struggle with your own feelings but you stand before people and say the best thing. And I go through that. I feel the injustice and I feel those questions that seek answers. At maaaring mangyari sa atin yan. Panginoon, ba't mo hinayaan? Ba't mga masasama ang mga taong to? Ba't nangyari ito? O kailangan pa namin siya? Ba't mo hinayaan mangyari? And we accept the sovereignty of God, but in the process, there is the suggested doubt of His goodness. At yun po ang ingatan natin. Naniniwala tayo sa control ng Diyos sa buhay. Whether originating it, kaya naniniwala tayong siyang nagpapasimula ng buhay sa sinapupunan. Habang hindi pa nag-uumpisa, pwedeng pigilin yan. Kaya may posisyon ako sa RH bill. But the point is, when life has begun, God has intended that life to continue. So life, the beginning of life is by God. The sustenance of life is by God. But so is the withdrawal of life. Kaya sa umpisa, sa pagtustos, at sa pagbawi ng buhay, pasya ng Diyos. Maliwanag pong turo yan ang salita ng Diyos. At hindi lang yan, isang mapanghawakan natin ay He always has a purpose for His people in their grief. Iba-iba yan. Huwag sana mangyari sa atin na ang maging purpose niya ay gaya ng purpose niya kay Ezekiel. Sinabihan niya sa Ezekiel 24, "Tonight, I will take the desire of your eyes," referring to his wife, "I will take the desire of your eyes, and I do not want you to grieve. I do not want you to cry." Bakit? because God will use him as a prophetic portrayal of how God is dealing with Israel. So, yep, Ezekiel accepted it. But the point is that in the Christian's experience of loss of a loved one, God has a purpose. And the purpose is always to his glory and for our good. But here is one thing that we need to understand. God is not indebted to us. God does not owe us any explanation. That's trust. One thing I'll not forget sa book ni Jerry Bridges about trusting God ay yung sinabi niyang between obeying and trusting, trusting is the more difficult to do. Why? Because obeying is obeying something you know. You know the command. You obey it. Trusting is trusting God for something you do not know. You cannot explain. Bakit nangyari ito? Bakit ako nasa ganitong kalagayan? And no explanation is forthcoming. But that's the point of trust. For all that I know of God, I am going to trust Him for what I do not know. He will do me no wrong. He will do me no pain for just pain's sake. Whatever He does, He has a good purpose. But He does not owe me an explanation. Yung kapag dumating tayo sa puntong puro bakit, bakit Panginoon? At nagdideman tayo ng sagot, that's not trust. Trust is while we grieve and we have our questions, we come to the point where we say, not my will, but God's will be done. So kung may bitterness na umiiral sa atin o nagsisimula and it is towards God, deal with it from its very root. Submit to God, however painful. Now, sometimes the bitterness is towards the dead, yung namatay. Especially when the departed bears some accountability. Yung bakit hindi siya nag-ingat, bakit niya ginawa ito, bakit siya sumuong sa panganib, eh, may mga ganyan din na we begin to blame the dead. And again, that is something we need to take care we do not fall into. Hindi tayo dapat mahulog sa ganong mga pag-iisip. Instead, it is right to draw lessons from the memory of the dead, both positive and negative. We see that in the scripture. We draw lessons from those who died. The right things they have done, the wrong things we learn from. But again, we come back to the point of closure. Accept closure to the company of the dead. And precisely because of that, any lingering anger, bitterness, resentment towards that person should be mortified. I mean, even the law, alam nyo ba, recognizes it. Legally, death absolves a person from all legal accountability. That's on basis of law. Dahil nga, kinikilala, pag namatay, wala na. Well, emotionally, we try to do that. Closure, as far as the dead person is concerned, mas madalas ay bitterness towards causes. Especially, in cases of what we call untimely death. An untimely death that is due to criminal cause or accidental providential cause, maring yung sisi na paninisi natin ay mapunta doon sa mga naging sanhi. And this is where we refresh what I said last week in our Sunday school when we seek justice against the criminal elements. Tamang hanapin ang katarungan, but not vengeance. Katarungan ay pananagutan ng may autoridad, hindi paghihiganti sa ating kamay. Ayan sabi ng Romans 12:19, vengeance is mine, says the Lord. At siya yung magpaparusa sa dapat parusahan, pero huwag nating pairalin yung galit, puot, o pagtatanim ng higanti. At dito tayo pumasok sa pagtanggap muli ng kamay ng Diyos sa mga pangyayari. Job 1:21 has been such a comfort to me, and I hope to us. Sa mga ganitong panahon, Job feeling the pain of all his children wiped out in a calamity. And while he was crying, yet he said, "The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." And would to God that he would give us the enabling and the grace to come to that attitude where we thank him for lending us such a life and yet acknowledge him for taking away that life. So bitterness must be mortified. But then the third umbrella are those that I call depression. Depression refers to paralyzing feelings that disable moving on. Yung salita ng scripture dyan ay being cast down. Or another word is fainting. Now, we all feel downcast. We all faint at certain periods. But I'm referring to depression as that continuing, chronic, habitual feeling that disable us from moving on. This can be because one of denial. Denial, refusal to come to terms with the fact of death. Eh, alam po ninyo, ayon sa mga pag-aaral, ito yung madaling maging vulnerable to unsound mind o gumawa ng mga desisyon na mali. Ilang pangyayari na yung dahil hindi matanggap, hinuka yung bangkay at isinilid sa kanyang bahay at kasakasama doon. Eh, maninindig balahibo mo rin, pero ito yung kahihinatnan ng mga hindi matanggap. Now, mara hindi humantong dyan, kundi kimkimin lang emotionally, but that too can be vulnerable to unsound mind. So, initial shock, yes, my period of denial, I had to go through that. But believing that this is by the hand of God, come to terms with it. Come to terms with the fact of death. Then regrets, ito yung lalo na malapit ka sa tao, may mga plano kayo. Pagkatapos biglang nawala, this is where you begin to dwell with the what could have been. What if? If only. Yan po tayo mag-ingat. Yung makulong tayo doon sa ano kaya? O disin sana. At marami tayong ganyan. At ang mangyayari ay it disables us. Then the worst part is withdrawal. Withdrawal is when you abandon responsibilities. Because you can't move on without the person. Huwag sana mangyari yun sa atin, lalo na sa mga malalapit sa minamahal nating kapatid. And I believe that he would not have it any other way but for the church to move on, for the ministries to be undertaken with as usual and perhaps even more zeal. So let us not withdraw from our responsibilities. So just two things to answer itong point ng depression. One is that it is not wrong to retain symbols and activities for the memory of the dead. Makikita natin sa Kings and Chronicles na yung mga namatay na mga hari, inilalagay yung kanilang acts sa isang chronicle. Paulit-ulit yan, sa Kings and Chronicles are not his acts in. And so, kung gusto natin gumawa ng mga ganyan, there's nothing wrong with that. We do not pray for the dead, but it is not wrong to honor the memory of the dead. This time, that last time I was in England, I preached in only one church every Sunday. It's a church that has been there since 1763. Yung walls puno ng mga yung pastor na nagpastor ng ganitong period. So, doon yung mga plaques nila. Saan yung kaya ilalagay ang plaque ko dito? When I visited Cambridge and I entered isang chapel nila, isang malaking cathedral actually, nakasulat doon na narito raw yung pag-honor sa isa sa mga great reformers, Martin Bucer. Kasabayan niya nila John Calvin, nasa altar daw. So hinahanap ko ng hinahanap, marami rin. Hindi ko makita nasaan kaya. And then to my shock, I realized I was stepping on it. Natatapakan ko pala yung plaque para sa kanya. Ay, sorry po, Mr. Bucer. Pero nothing wrong with that. To honor the dead through symbols, through activities. So, kung makakagaan sa atin yung gawin natin. But we must accept the sovereignty of God over events of time, including death. And we come back to this point of Ecclesiastes chapter 3. God has made everything beautiful in its time. And everything includes a time to be born, a time to die. It was God who purposed it. It is God who can make something beautiful out of it. Let us accept the sovereignty of God in what happened. And let me say that depression is in itself not wrong when you try to overcome it. But continuing depression can become rebellion against the sovereignty of God. And even as we grieve in a manner that glorifies God. Let us submit to the sovereignty of God. Even when we hurt, resolve never to dishonor our God. I come back to Job when binubuyo siya ng asawa niya, curse God and die. What did he say? Shall we receive good and not evil from the hand of God? And then we are told that in all of this, Job did not sin with his mouth. At the time of his grief, he did not sin. And that is my desire as a pastor for us as a church. That is what I have been praying to God. He will enable me as an individual. Let us grieve, but grieve in a manner that will not sin. Any question, any thoughts you like to raise? Myla.
Pastor, anong extent or how seriously should we, what do you call this, should we, sorry, nawawala ako. Yung wishes at saka bili nung namatay, how seriously should we consider them? Or well, meron bang dapat huwag pansinin mga limitasyon?
Well, it should be honored as far as the personal effects of the person is concerned. But at a certain point, you also decide in a way that will be for the best of the living rather than just honor yung wish ng namatay. Isang halimbawa ibibigay ko riyan ay wish ni David Brainerd na yung kanyang diaries na to be kept private. Jonathan Edwards, nakatira siya nun sa bahay ni Jonathan Edwards. Yung isa sa mga daughters niya ni Edwards ay fiancé ni David Brainerd. So silang nag-alaga sa kanya during the time na he lay sick and was dying. Isa yun sa gusto niyang i-private lang yung diaries. But when Jonathan Edwards saw and read those diaries, he believed, and I am convinced, rightly so, that this will honor God if it could be read. And so, ang ginawa ni Edwards, nung namatay na si David Brainerd, he published those diaries. And I am one of the beneficiaries of the published diaries of David Brainerd. You read of a man who walked intimately with his God. And yet also, Jonathan Edwards himself said, he saw the extremes of the man. He would pray for hours sa snow. Eh, hawakan mo lang yan ng ilang sandali. Mag-freeze ka na, pero inakala niya na it's something that will draw him closer to God. So, Edwards was very honest in his estimation of Brainerd, but given all those extremes, still, the publication of those diaries is a very wise decision on the part of Edward. So yung pag-honor sa bilin, as far as possible ng kanyang personal effects, yes. Pero kung may mga bagay na mas makabubuti sa may iwanan, sa mga buhay, at sa mga susunod pa, we are not tied to whatever yung bilin ng namatay. Ani?
Ano lang po sa isip ko, yung pong ginawa ng mga Marcoses na pre-disturbed yung body ni President Marcos, ano po ba yung ano nun? Kasalanan po ba yun?
Hindi naman kasalanan, pero magastos. Hindi naman mabubuhay yun. That's what they did with Lenin, still in Kremlin. That's what they did in other people na sa kanilang palagay ay mag-honor sa kanila. To me, it's vain, it's wasteful, and it only leads to wrong views ng mga taong lahat, mga tagahanga niya, may mga sumasamba pa siguro sa katawan na yan, pero it's useless. So, I don't want my body to be preserved. So, don't do it. Mas maganda yung ginawa ni John Calvin na he was conscious of how others have so honored him even in his lifetime. The one worry he had was kapag namatay siya, gawing shrine yung kanyang libingan. So, he made provisions in his will na he be buried in an unmarked grave. And to this day, nobody knows where the grave is. The wisest guess is may nakita sa Geneva na isang grave na may initials na JC, but it could be anyone else. Pero hanggang ngayon, walang certain identity ng kanyang grave. And that's because he did not want to become an object of worship. And that's a very honorable intention of the man. Kaya wag nang mag-preserve ng katawan. Mamili kayo sa cremation at living, but wag nang preservation. Other questions? Meron pa? Thoughts? Paul?
Pastor, yan pong isang point ninyo dito about draw lessons from the memory of the dead, both positive and negative. Some of us would rather, you know, disregard for certain reasons yung negative, and especially if it's a person whom we hold in high esteem, to just dwell on the positive. But at the same time, it may also be beneficial for those among us to draw lessons in negative. But yung negative lessons may also be too personal and not edifying to those who left whom the person has left behind, or even to those who are his acquaintances. How do you manage this point in practical terms?
Well, yung too personal, ibig sabihin yung only between you and the person, huwag mo nang isawalat. Honor the memory of the man by keeping it to yourself. However, there are things that are known publicly that it does not detract from our honoring the person of the dead by being honest about the negative na sa buhay niya, na dapat ring matuto tayo na sa negative part. So I believe that it does not detract from the honor we extend to the person by being honest about those things that are negative. Ginawa niya ni Jonathan Edwards kay David Brainerd, pinakita niya yung mga extremes ng kanyang mga ginawa. And I know those extremes, but it does not detract from the honor I extend to him. So walang masama na a negative thing that is public enough ay isama natin sa what we learn from the memory of the dead. Pag nagbabasa ka rin ng biographies, a good biographer, hindi niya i-honor lang yung kanyang subject by just discussing all the positive things. A good biography will also tell of the negative things of a man And again, I have biographies of people I honor, but through those biographies, I also know the wrong things na kanilang na nangyari sa kanila, but it will not detract from the honor I give to them. Pero pag sa tulad ng isang memorial service, mag-prevail dapat ay a good memory of the person. Jean.
Pastor, hindi po question. It is a personal sharing na what I have struggled dun sa nangyari kay Brother Jojo. Naging struggle sa akin yung bitterness kasi I was thinking yung work niya for the prison ministry na very few na nga yung laborers katulad nung sinabi ni Jesus sa Matthew 9 verse 37. Mahirap na struggle yon pabalik-balik, even when I was on travel itong week na to, parang nahirapan ako for 2 weeks struggling with the thought na konti na yung laborers and yet bakit kinuha pa ng Lord. But the Lord used scriptures also to comfort and to give hope. In the same verse pa rin dun sa Matthew 10:37, yung next verse pala sa 38, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into His harvest. So yung word na send, na may magsisend ang God, but we have to pray. So naging source of comfort for me dun sa death ni Brother Jojo.
Okay, thank you very much, Jean. I know that struggle with a sense of loss. Start dun kay Pastor Noel Cunanan, and that's also a struggle I had na we have very few laborers. Why are you allowing these things na yung mga nagtatrabaho pa ang kinukuha? And I had such thoughts that I needed to confess before God. So ganun din kay Jojo, yung nga sa kanyang prison ministry, at naalala ko pa just before we left for England, pursige siya ng pursige sa akin, pastor, mag-pastor's conference na tayo dito. Sabi ko, this May, may pastor's conference na ako sa San Pablo. Saka na yan, maybe October. And then suddenly, it's gone. And I suddenly felt the loss. But yes, correctly, it leads us to pray, to send forth laborers to His harvest. So, kung may laborer dito para sa prison ministry, may bakante tayong ganun ngayon. And we need that. We need this comfort that while God takes away, it's not meant to abandon His cause. Myla. Rod muna.
Pastor, between cremation and burial, may nagsasabi kasi unbiblical daw yung cremation. Could you comment on this?
Yes, I have read yung kanilang literature, yung kanilang arguments against cremation, and I have to say I have treated their arguments with respect and with seriousness because that includes some Reformed writers, but ultimately I have not been convinced ng kanilang mga arguments. Yung main argument is respect for the body. But how would one say na you are disrespecting the body by cremating it and putting the ashes in a place of honor compared to just leaving it to decay? So I honestly, while respecting that view, I honestly see the strength of the argument sa kanilang sinasabi rin na maghintay tayo sa resurrection para sa gagawin sa body. And again, I don't see the connection doon sa halimbawang i-cremate. So that's what I want to say. I have dealt in teaching ethics Bible school. This is one of the things we had to consider, and I treated the literature defending only burial and attacking cremation, but I have not been convinced by their arguments. I believe that cremating is a legitimate option. It is still an act of honor for the dead, still believing in the resurrection. There are practical reasons for opting for cremation, but as far as moral and theological reasons, I see nothing against cremation as such. So, isang bilin daw ni Jojo, i-cremate siya, yung kanyang ashes ay ikalat sa makiling, at tutuparin natin yon. Ako ang ashes ko sa pulpito. Ano ko na smile
ah. Pastor, ang tanong ko dun sa under ng depression, meron kayong nakasulat na regret. Isang struggle siguro nung mga naiwan, yung regret na marami, especially totoo dun sa mga ka-close, siguro pinakamatindi sa family,
yeah.
Yung regret na marami silang dapat sinabi na hindi nila nasabi, dapat ginawa na hindi nagawa. And siguro kahit papaano lahat tayo meron ito.
Yes.
Ano po yung mga practical na tulong?
Well, yun ang sinasabi ko tungkol sa regret, especially when you dwell on the what could have been at yung mga hindi nasabi, yung mga bagay na mas sana, ganitong ginawa ko. Marami tayong ganyan, pero ang punto nga ay, if we accept the sovereignty of God in the taking of that life, then learn from whatever had been, then don't be imprisoned by the thoughts of what could have been. So, nangyari ayon sa pahintulot ng Diyos, may gusto akong sabihin sa kanyang hindi ko nasabi, may gusto akong gawin na hindi ko nagawa, at may plano kaming dalawa na hindi na mangyayari, and I can tell you of those things, but the Lord intervened. Yun ang isipin na lang natin. Ang Panginoon ang siyang nagpahintulot nito. Kaya kung hindi na mangyayari yung sana'y pinaplano natin, walang dahilan para tayo ay masadlak sa panghihinayang na hindi na mangyayari. Other thoughts? Manzaldi.
Since nang ang mga tao ay namamatay po. Iba't ibang uri lang ng kamatayan. Humihingi ng hustisya, ganun. Sasakuna, ganun. Sa kamatayan ng mga tao, nag-grieve din ba ang Diyos? Na sabi niya sa certain verse, let the dead bury the dead. At saka meron din shortest verse, hindi ko lang maalala yun. Jesus Christ. Nag-grieve siya. Sapagkat ang tao, sa panahon ng lahat ng tao ay namamatay, iba't ibang uri lang. Can you elaborate ng different?
Okay, does God grieve? Yung ginamit lang ng salitang grieve para sa Panginoon ay yung grieving ng kasalanan sa Kanya. Ginamit yan sa Genesis chapter 6. It grieved God that He has created man because everything was violence. Ginamit sa Ephesians 4:30. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit. And again, ang binanggit doon ay mga kasalanan. Kaya hindi applicable sa Panginoon yung may namatay at nag-grieve siya, na para bang a sense of loss for God, because bawat kamatayan ay ayon sa kanyang pahintulot at pagpaplano. Now, yung salita na let the dead bury their dead ay malayong-malayo po yun sa usapin ng pagdadalamhati. Yun ay sa Luke chapter 6 kung saan tumatawag ang Panginoon ng mga alagad, at merong isang nagsabi na hayaan mong mailibing ko muna ang aking ama. Hindi po ibig sabihin nito na nakaburol yung ama niya at hindi na siya pinayagan ni Jesus na magdumaluman lang ng burol. Yan po ang karaniwang unawa, mali po iyan. Ang sinasabi niyang hayaan mong ibailibing ko muna ang aking ama, parang sinasabi niya hintayin ko muna mamatay yung aking ama at makuha ko yung aking mana bago ako susunod sa iyo. At yan sinabi ng Panginoon na let the dead bury their dead. So wala pong kinalaman sa pagluluksa o pagdadalamhati yung bagay na yon. Now, Jesus wept, John 11:35. Ang nangyari po rito ay alam na niya ang gagawin niya kay Lazaro, bubuhayin niya. Kaya hindi po ito wept ng pagluluksa. Yung ginamit na salita doon ay yung salita ng pagpupuyos ng damdamin. So sa harap ng kamatayan at ng kawalang pananampalataya nung madla, ay doon masasabi natin yung weeping ng Panginoon ay not weeping over the dead, but the weeping over the unbelief and the prospect of sin ang sinasabi ro na tumangi si Jesus. And the last thoughts. Lisa.
Pastor, why do most people think that dead people that are in heaven are watching us right now?
Yes, many think that dead people, that the dead in heaven are watching us. One is because of a wrong interpretation of a verse. Usually ang ginagamit ay Hebrews 12:1, a great cloud of witnesses. But clearly, the writer was using that as a figure of speech concerning Olympic competition. So parang sinasabi niya yung mga nakalipas na nagpursige sa kanilang pananampalataya ay nag-cheer on sa atin by looking at their lives. It doesn't mean that they're actually watching us. The Bible is clear that the dead have no participation with the land of the living. One of the figures of the Old Testament concerning dying is cut off from the land of the living. So there's no... So let us reject that notion that the dead are watching us. It's enough that there are spirits watching us, but they are not the spirits of the dead. There are demons, angels, but not the dead. Mian, Mian.
We're grieving as a church sa pagkawala ni Kuya Jojo. And I have this feeling now na I'm more grieving not seeing the family in their seats. Alam mo kung saan sila nakaupo. May note po kasi kayo dito, Pastor, na we are to seek justice against criminal elements. And we know as a church kung bakit wala sila dito. May mga ilang thoughts lang, Pastor, na naririnig at even ako naisip ko sana pinabayaan na lang, hindi na lang, kumbaga we didn't run after them, ganon yung mga thoughts. How do you comfort us, Pastor, in this thoughts?
Well, again, we seek justice, and if there is an opportunity for justice, we seek that opportunity. Where there is none, then we commit this to the one who holds and controls issues of justice. Kaya yung Kristiyano, may lagi siyang pagsasandalan. Maaari niyang hanapin sa ahensya ng pamahalaan na naroon, ngunit kung hindi iyon kikilos, hindi tayo sumusuko sa usapin ng katarungan, kundi meron pa tayong Diyos na mapagsasandalan sa lahat ng usapin ng katarungan. Meanwhile, kung may mga peligro, it is not wrong to seek safety. Dahil sinabi ng Panginoon sa kung may umuusig sa inyo, sa isang bayan, pumunta kayo sa ibang bayan. And as far as that is the practical thing to do concerning the family, that's what we're doing. So dito rin po, may sasabihin lamang ako, a few of us know where they are, but please do not inquire. We will keep it to ourselves. I have arranged kung saan sila pupunta for the meanwhile. Meanwhile lang naman po ito. But please do not inquire anymore. The less people who know, the less of the danger. So, keep praying. Praying for Tina and the children. And pray for justice to be done. But if not, huwag tayong padaig sa puot And I'm telling that to you as one who had to struggle with it. I'm a man. I am still flesh. And these past 2 weeks, I felt vulnerable to a sense of such injustice. If I could put it in my own hand, I'll do something about it. And yet, when you think of it, that's not Christian. And we are Christians, even when we grieve, even when we are the victims of injustice, we still grieve as Christians should. Meron tayong Diyos. Kaya sa lipunan na nagpapabaya sa usapin ng katarungan, ay hindi tayo padadaig sa puot. Meron tayong Diyos na inaasahan. So, on the practical level, ay huwag na nating i-inquire kung nasan sila, babalik rin sila sa kalooban ng Panginoon. But meanwhile, we are following the injunction na kung may danger sa isang bayan, go to another place. And that's what we're doing. Any more thought? So sana sa panahong ito ay huwag tayong lumayo sa hangarin natin na even in our hurt, we will honor the Lord. And it is Christians, I believe, who are in the best position na gawin ito na sa panahon na nasasaktan tayo ay mayroon pa rin tayong Diyos na makakanlungan. So with that thought, let us come to God in prayer. Dakila naming Diyos, sa panahong ito ng aming pagdadalamhati, may puwang para dito, maski pa ang namatay ay may katiyakan na nasa iyong presensya. Panalangin namin na sa pagdadalamhati namin ay huwag kaming magdalamhati tulad na iyong mga walang pag-asa. Gayunman, maaari kaming magdalamhati sa paraang nakapagpaparangal pa rin sa iyo. Panalangin namin, Panginoon, sa panahong ito ay maiwasan namin at kung nangyayari ay madaig namin ang anumang kasalanang nakadugtong sa pagdadalamhati. Whether this has to do with deceptions, let the truth of the Scripture prevail over our minds and views in these times, and that we would not yield to wrong beliefs and superstitious notions. But at the same time, we might be dealing with bitterness over something that has happened and that has resulted in untimely and unjust death of a brother so dear to us. But yet, even in this matter, we can rest in the thought that you are the sovereign who is in control of life and death. In the beginning, in the sustaining, and in the terminating of a life. Give us that spirit of joy. Even as we are crying, we can say the Lord has given, the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So grant that we may mortify any bitterness on our part or any depression. Help us, Lord, not to yield to denial or be imprisoned by regrets or even lead to withdrawal. Grant that even as we honor the memory of a dear brother, help us to accept your sovereignty. And help us to accept that everything happens in time and that you have the power to make it beautiful in its time. So we pray, Lord, for your hand to move in us and even upon these events, even as we are still seeking justice. And things are happening that seem to question that justice in our society, yet we will not yield to vengeance, but rather rest upon you. And meanwhile, pinapanalangin namin ang aming mga kapatid na si Tina, ang kanyang mga anak, na ikaw ang mag-ingat sa kanila, ikaw ang magprotekta, at sa panahon ng kanilang pagdadalamhati ay makaranas sila ng kaaliwan na nanggaling sa iyo. Kaaliwan na mula kay Kristo, na siya man ay biktima ng kawalang katarungan ng lipunan, subalit tinanggap niya ito ng may pagpapasakop Pinapanalangin namin si Tina na ikaw ang magpakilos sa kanyang pananampalataya. Alalayan mo siya, lalo sa pangunguna niya sa kanyang mga anak. At panalangin namin, Panginoon, na sa iyong kahabagan, huwag mong hayaan na muli pang mamayani ang intensyon ng masama. Ingatan mo siya at sa iyo namin ipinagkakatiwala ang mangyayari sa mga panahong ito. Pinapanalangin din namin, Panginoon, na even as we are feeling the sense of loss, yet to you it is not a loss. And to you, there is a plan. We just do not know what the plan is. We feel confused. We are puzzled. We may be struggling with questions. But you do not owe to us any answer to our questions. We only need to trust and grant to Lord that in these times of grieving, help us, Lord, to trust in your goodness and in your sovereignty. Alalayan mo kaming iglesia rin na nagdadalamhati at ibinabalik namin sa iyo ang pagkilala na soberano kang Diyos sa panahon ito. Panalangin namin ito sa pangalan lamang ng aming Panginoong Hesukristo. Amen.